Alec Watson is the creator behind Technology Connections, a YouTube channel started in 2014 that creates entertaining and educational videos about, well, just about anything. Be it a kettle or a coffee percolator, a can opener, a DVD, a turn signal, or maybe the contents of a lava lamp, Alec guides us through these banal subjects in a calm, collected manner while sprinkling in just the right amount of humor and entertainment to make the learning enjoyable. The videos are incredibly well produced and packed full of information that you never thought you actually needed to know, but by the end of the video, you're sitting there like, wow, I learned something by watching a YouTube video. And then you realize you're not the only one watching, and that Technology Connections has built up an audience of over 1.7 million subscribers on the back of only 160 videos, and all of that adds up to almost 200 million video views. So, let's see what all this fuss is about and put our hands together. And welcome to the podcast, Alec Watson.
Hello.
Alec, it's great to have you on the show. And, you know, I never hear these intros. Each of us comes up with an intro, you know, swap back and forth. We never hear each other's until right now. And I heard listening to Chad's intro. And I think it's about the exact same kinds of things I would say, is that your channel is one of these channels that I look at the time length of a video and it's like 20, 25 minutes. And I think, well, that's a long video. As soon as I start watching one of your videos though, I just get hooked into it and I end up watching the entire video. They're very, very engaging.
Well, thank you. I don't know how I do that. I've heard that from several people that I've met in real life, other YouTubers. They're like, I'll tell them like my average watch time. And they're like, how are you doing that? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. You just get sucked into them.
Whatever it is, it's working. Let's rewind and go right back to the beginning. Usually a question that we ask first-time guests is, how did you discover YouTube in the first place?
I'm younger than most people think I am, so it's been in the background of my life. Not as long as I can remember, but I think I started my first YouTube channel when I was in middle school. And so it's been there. I couldn't tell you how I discovered it. I don't remember what my first, I don't remember the first things that I watched on YouTube. It's just kind of always been there. And some of the early successes I had, they weren't really successes, but I think I had a video on my old channel get a couple hundred thousand views, and it got me a taste of the, you know, this is something that I could potentially do.
What kind of content were you producing back then?
Horrible stuff. Embarrassing stuff. Most of it is private. Of terrible things you shouldn't do to a Honda Civic. And
oh, I got to see that.
Well, you can't, can't, hopefully.
I want to now.
A lot of distasteful lighting things that you shouldn't do to cars. But one of them I was quite proud of. I actually did, I disassembled the headlight assemblies to put in actual projector housings for xenon headlights to do a proper HID retrofit on that car. I liked that video. It was a fun process to do, but that was, I don't know, probably, it was before my current channel, definitely.
So you were on YouTube from the very early days then, it sounds like.
I think my first channel, I started it in 2008. So not
That's pretty early.
Yeah, not the beginning, but definitely before the cultural relevancy it has.
Was it just an open sandbox channel? It was just I upload different types, or did you have a theme for the channel?
It started out, so the very first video was, and it's kind of how this current channel got started. A very good family friend had given me an Edison cylinder phonograph, and I fixed that up, and I was just uploading videos of different wax cylinders that I had for it. The most successful one was a song called I'm On My Way to Reno, about a guy who's going there to get divorced. And so that is how it started, and then it just kind of went in different directions. I never really had a theme for it. It was whatever I wanted to put up. And so I think currently it has the channel is effectively dead, but people sometimes find it because there's some things I've linked to. And I think it has 6,000 subscribers on it.
Did it inform the channel that you have now, or was like, was that kind of like, this is, it needs to be more focused. So therefore, in 2014 or in 2015, when you started putting your current content together, you knew that that's what you wanted to do, or?
Definitely. It was a lesson learned that I will need to pick a lane and stay in there. And my favorite videos to produce were the ones where like I was explaining something and trying to help people through something. So there, my friend in high school, he had a car that the cooling fan didn't work. And so it would overheat in traffic. And so I did a video explaining, here's why that's happening. If we just unplug this wire, the fan will run all the time. This sensor needs to get replaced. And so that was the sort of stuff I really liked. I did some how-to videos, but like now, those are kind of over, aren't they?
Isn't that the case though? That's so true, yeah.
That was the sort of thing that I enjoyed. I enjoyed explaining concepts and trying to communicate them, because that was a thing going back to, I guess this is going pretty far back into like the motivations of my channel, but as someone, when I was younger, I've always been fascinated by how things work, and I want to get into a deep understanding of what the objects in my life are doing and how that might inform getting them fixed or something like that, or their histories. And I would always like to explain that to other people to just blank stares. And it was like, I want to communicate to people that this is interesting. And there's reasons you can connect this to your life. That's part of the channel name. And that's basically how it got started, was a long bugbear of mine to get people to be interested in the mundane stuff in their lives.
Do you have a science background in any way, or just curiosity?
Not at all. My formal education is hospitality management.
Did you have an inspiration? Were there other YouTubers who at the time were kind of creating content that you're like, maybe not exactly the type of content, but I like the way that, you know, this guy's doing this or this person's doing this?
Not that I could identify. It was just an amalgamation of things that I had seen. Before I had built the set, I was playing around. Well, no, actually, the very first set it's confused some people, because it was real, and then it was green screened, because we had moved. And at some point I wanted to play around with like doing videos in a white void, and I didn't have a good enough camera or lighting setup to do that. So I couldn't really point to any particular inspirational people or channels, just sort of vibes I was going for.
Is that what it is now, green screen background?
No, it's real.
That's a real background.
Yeah, it's a real background. Yeah. It's an ongoing controversy. People don't, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, that can't be a real background. It's a part of, I have tried to interact with it a few times, take objects from the shelves behind me, and then people will be in the comments like, oh, that's some crazy CGI he's got going on.
You got to just lean into that. Yeah. You're right. I'm a master at CGI.
You started this particular channel in November 2014. September 2015 was the first video, at least the first video, which is available now, Bell and the Invention of Sound. Which is a fantastic video. And something Steve and I both commented on was that if you watch that video today, 7 years later, it's remarkable how your cadence, your delivery, your set, the concept was so well forged right there that we've certainly seen you grow into this character. But you kind of knew right out of the gate. Was that the North Star of like, you realize that this only becomes memorable if there's these certain things which are consistent? Or what was the thought behind, you know, still having that same brand today that you did on video number one?
Honestly, I haven't watched that video in so long that I can tell if I watched it now, I would probably just cringe. But it's lovely to hear that it seems consistent with my current content. I've never really changed my writing process. I've changed my production process several times. So in a way, I'm not surprised that the cadence is similar.
It's definitely gotten more refined over the years. I can look at that first video to now. And that's a good sign. I mean, every YouTuber should go through that process. But it did look like you kind of, the format was, you established it right from the beginning, I think. Is it a challenge to come up with new ideas for this show every week? Well, not every week. What do you do? About once a month or so you do a video.
I try to do at least two videos a month.
Two a month.
But there is no schedule, and there has never been.
And you must spend a lot of time writing those and researching. Must be most of your time.
That's the slowest part, and it's the part that so once I have a video written, it could be done 2 days after that. The shooting of the talking head is about a 2-hour process. I can edit that down in a couple hours, and then I gather a list of all the B-roll shots I need. And by the time I'm at that point, there's probably 20, 25 hours of work left to make the video happen. But writing is tedious and slow. And it's the part that I struggle to get into the mood to do it. So it's one of those things where it's definitely the roughest part of the process for me. But as far as ideas, so there's a two-part answer to the question. I have dozens of ideas in a document that I would like to pursue at some point, but I'm not going to pursue ones that I'm not actively excited about, because I know that's not going to make a good video, and it's also just going to suck as far as like producing it. I want to be able to have that stream of consciousness writing session and be able to just go through in my mind, here's all the really interesting things that I think you want to know. Here's questions that I can anticipate people asking. But like when I go through my ideas document, I know that there's a lot of things that I definitely would like to talk about, but right now it's not going to get me excited. So it's just put to the side.
Is a lot of those decisions based on kind of things that you already have? And I know you collect things like, you know, typewriters or whatever. You've got all of these old things. Did those come first? And you're like, you know, this would be a good idea for a video. Or in a lot of cases, do you have to actually go out and buy those? I don't want to call them props. They're not really props. They're like audio visual demonstrations of, you know,
so
these things.
I've actually kind of stopped collecting stuff. There's just a few categories of collections that I have. Cameras are a big one. But those collections are from long ago. And so there's a storage area at the studio that just has a bunch of junk in it. And I long overdue need to like go through that and get rid of all that stuff. But these days I buy, if there's a topic, it used to be when I was starting out that I would go to thrift stores a lot and I would try to find interesting things to take apart or whatever. But these days I'm more exposed to things through comments or suggestions, and I'll just buy them if I find them interesting, if I can get them, because sometimes it doesn't work. But I actually do think of them more as props than items, because honestly, they're not like Laserdisc was a big part of my early channel. Mm-hmm. All of my Laserdiscs are in the set and I don't touch them because they're not interesting to me anymore as objects to be interacting with.
Did you buy the self-destructing DVD off of eBay or something? Is that how you found that thing?
That was eBay. There's not a lot of them left.
Yeah, I'll bet. It was kind of sad that you had to take it apart, because now it's not. I would imagine someday it might be worth something, but maybe not.
Well,
I don't know.
This is something that I need to try. Somebody supposes that if I put it in a pure CO2 atmosphere, it would revert.
Really?
And I can read it again. So that's something that I want. I think it was CO2. So I have it around somewhere, and I would like to maybe try that at some point. But
it's one of the things I like about your channel is I've forgotten about some of these things, and I remember when those came out and the controversy surrounding those, and it was all because you're just like, you're buying something just so you can literally throw it away 48 hours later.
Yeah, well, and that was like one of my first, and I guess you'd call it a collab. Hank Green reached out to me, and he wanted me to mail him the disc.
Oh.
So he can make a video on Vlogbrothers about it. And he actually kind of changed my mind, because, you know, there's less plastic in those discs than like a Coke bottle.
Yeah.
Huh.
And they're more complicated to manufacture. There's the layer of silver and stuff like that. But like the way we imagine waste, just we saw something as like a DVD. That's content. You're paying $20 for this. The idea of throwing it away is just abhorrent to us. But really, it's just a content delivery mechanism, just like a Coke bottle.
Yeah.
So I'm still glad it didn't work.
And you even mentioned in the video, I mean, you also have to kind of consider the amount of environmental damage just from streaming today, mm-hmm. just because of all the power to power up all of these servers that is required for us to get Netflix and all these platforms.
Yeah, but my understanding is that's generally not, it's like 1%.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not like mining Bitcoin or something.
Right.
Is it fair to say that your content now at least is very much informed by the viewer's interests and less about kind of the things that you want to explore, or do you still find a balance for both of those things?
You know, it's a balance. The thing that what's happening more and more is the projects that I'm really interested in exploring don't do well.
Right.
And the throwaway videos that I've just come up because like, I don't have any ideas going. I need to make a video about why Americans don't use kettles. And then that'll get 2 million views.
That's the nature of YouTube right there. And,
right. And so that's really frustrating, but it's been a mixture. Some of my favorite videos are things that I've wanted to make for a long time. There's, three or four topics that are lined up, but I'm spacing them out because I don't know. They're kind of like my on reserve topics, but there's also some of my favorite things I've ever done were viewer suggestions. I got incredibly lucky with the JVC LCCS monitor. I don't know if you saw that video. It's a fascinating little thing from like 2004, 2001, something around there, where it's a black and white picture tube, but there's a filter in front of it that's rapidly changing between red, green, and blue, which I had no idea they had even figured out how to do that. So it's sequentially displaying a red, then green, the blue image. So you get a full color image, but it's constructed entirely differently from any other color CRT. And that was just, someone's like, have you heard of this? No, I hadn't. Go to eBay. There's one for sale for $20. Okay. And then bought it. So
you get crazy engagement on your videos. Do you spend a lot of time in the comments section, or does that get a little overwhelming? And follow-up question, where does the kind of the Patreon audience and the Patreon voice fit into your world?
So comments, I will spend about 2 or 3 intense hours after I publish a video checking up on the comments. After that, I'll usually check it the next day. After that, never. it's just,
yeah.
I don't, I want to make sure that there's nothing flagrantly wrong in the video. So far that's never happened. So happy to say that. And I'll look for things that I might need to correct or address. But once I know that like everything's smooth sailing, the comment section is just not in my head. And I think everybody needs to be like that, or they will not last long. The Patreon audience is definitely more important. And I've always done early access there for main channel videos. They're kind of a test audience. I've fixed multiple things based on early feedback. And it's also where a lot of ideas come from for the channel. So Patreon is definitely like, I mean, they have more weight in my mind for many reasons, but that I'm much more attentive to. YouTube comments, it's that, you know, 24, 48 hours of intense scrutiny and then I'm done.
You happen to be the only creator that we've had on the podcast who has a Patreon tier, which is sold out. As in, if I wanted to support you in the highest possible way, I would not be able to do that. I'd have to support you with less money. And I've just never seen that before.
I have quasi-fixed that. There's a new tier called This Tier Goes Up to 11. It's mainly... So I noticed on Patreon, I will never understand how I'm in the situation that I'm in. But one of the things with Patreon that a lot of people just don't realize is you can make a pledge in any amount, but Patreon's not really good at pointing that out. So I made that new tier specifically to say, hey, this is an $11 tier, but you can make it whatever you want. So it's not functionally sold out. The reason the Inventor tier is sold out is because that's my scrolling list.
Got it.
And it's gotten too long. And I just had to say, we're done. And I've been wanting to change how the end of my videos goes, but I I haven't put the time to figure out. I really love my tacky ending song. I don't think I can change it.
It needs to stay.
And it's just, I haven't figured out a way to expand the scrolling list of patrons. So it's just been like, there's 300 of you. And I've noticed on Patreon, people will tell me, like, they've asked, is there a wait list? And I'm like, I'm sorry, there's no mechanism for that. And then I'll get a message like, oh, somebody canceled. I was able to squeeze in. And so
that's awesome.
Feels very weird, but I'm delighted at the same time.
Well, what is your criteria for choosing a video topic to cover? I guess a bigger question is, how do you describe your channel? Because it's sort of, in a way, I guess you could say it's sort of like Vsauce, and that you cover sciencey topics, but it's more focused on just technology. But it's also not a pure science channel either.
So there's two things. It's mainly, do I think this is an interesting thing? Do I think people will find it fascinating, have the fascinations that I have about it? And then the other thing is it important? And it's better when I can meld the two together. So, you know, as far as most of my channel is old topics, but there's also heat pumps and electric vehicles. So there's new topics as well that I think are important. We'll be talking about in the not so distant future, home electrification is something that I would like to tackle. So for my videos going into older technology, it's basically like, how did they do that in the past? That's usually what I'm thinking of. And then for the newer stuff, it's what questions might people have if they hear about this sort of thing in the background? Why are we investing in those technologies and stuff like that? So bottom line, it's just, is this interesting to me, and do I think I can make a good video out of it?
And there's obviously some sort of a hook on the technology that kind of is interesting enough. It's not just like, here is how the train was invented or something. You know, there's got to be something that's a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. The original conception of my channel was to go through long series and deep dives. That's what the sound, like in my ideas document, which is going all the way back to there, had different ideas of series. But I just found it doesn't work with the platform, because you can't hold on to the same thread for so long and expect people to follow along.
Yeah, that's true.
And people just get tired of the subject matter. I'm really bummed right now that my photography videos are just not doing that well.
Yeah, but you've got an hour-long video about complete beginner's guide to electric vehicles. 2 weeks ago, you got over 500,000 views on that thing. So, wow, long format videos, killing it.
That was a surprise. I really thought that was going to be number 10 of 10. It wasn't great. I think it was number 8, maybe. But that video, I actually kind of, I don't want to toot my own horn too much, but I did like a sacrificial thing where I knew it would be better for me if I split this into 3 videos, but I didn't want to do that because I want it to be one place where people can get all their questions answered.
I think in today's YouTube, that's a way smarter approach.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of like the description, even the description is getting just like whittled away, and it's hard to get to it. And so it's like, if you want to set up a playlist, are people even going to find the playlist? You can link in the end card. Are they going to get there? And you can do part 1, part 2, part 3, but the algorithm's not always great at serving the next one. So
yeah, all of these little tools YouTube supplies are really only used by, like, you know, power users. Yeah. most people watching YouTube don't watch it like that.
Exactly. So it was like, I just want to have one place. And, you know, I mean, honestly, that video is a bit like, here's all these misconceptions that people keep bringing up to me, and I would like to clear them up all in one go. And that's a big motivation for the video. And hopefully it reaches the people who I want it to reach. But I also know there's a lot of people who just aren't going to click on it and whatever.
You mentioned your camera video is not doing very well, which is interesting because I believe just yesterday you released a camera video which was on trending. And At least here in Canada. I appreciate that our trending might be slightly different and whatnot, but you were number 14 on trending yesterday for the video. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I came across you on trending, and I have come across you several times on trending. You quite like, we've had Grady Hillhouse from Practical Engineering, where once one of his videos comes out, it's pretty much a staple. So on trending, at least. So again, to move into that space of not tooting your own horn, do you have an expectation after you put a video like that out where you're disappointed if it does not trend or does not, you know, get those crazy numbers that most people would blush at?
For trending, I pay no attention to that.
Okay.
I literally never know when my videos are trending, except when people tweet at me or when my dad sends a text.
Yeah, then you know you've made it, when dad sends a text. Yeah.
I saw your video.
So for that, I'm really not paying attention to. I do look at the one of the most helpful things YouTube's done is that number X of 10.
Yeah.
And so...
Do you like it, or does it kind of drive you a little crazy?
No, I like it. I like it a lot. I don't like when things are, let's see, what is the video? I think it was number 8 when I last looked.
Viewers are choosing to watch this video less.
Remember when they used to put the paper airplane, and the paper airplane was like just kind of like going down? It's like, way to go.
No, I don't remember that.
Well, they do have the confetti still.
They have the confetti.
Is it confetti or fireworks?
Fireworks.
Yeah, that's still there. Yeah. So yeah, it does like, I don't like seeing the words "people who regularly watch your channel are showing less interest in watching this video." But I do find it a really useful.
It's a good quick way to look and kind of see basically how that video is doing compared to other videos that you've done, isn't it? It's a good,
especially just recently. It kind of gives you a taste of what the past 30 days or 60 days.
And by looking at those 10, you can kind of extrapolate. I kind of can get an idea of what people are wanting to see.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it's just more like within the first 2 hours, I know how well this video is going to do. I know if I need to, I probably need to tweak the title a little more on the most recent video. But as I was just thinking about this morning, a problem with that video, I think, is I'm forgetting that the average person does not understand cameras. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm like, what? There was an automatic camera from the 60s and it doesn't take batteries? How are they doing that? Like, that's a mind-blowing question to me. But I imagine that most people are like, okay. And so it's hard to sell that video with the interest that I have in that topic, because I think a lot of people just aren't as aware. I mean, especially now, everybody's got a smartphone camera. They don't know what aperture settings mean.
Right.
And so...
Well, you know, this is the kind of thing I was talking about, is that your videos are very pointed and specific on something. And I think that's why you're getting, I mean, you must be disappointed when you get under 1 million views on a video, but like here, take for instance, your typewriter video. You could have made a video on how a typewriter works that nobody would really be interested in that. But your video is the correcting feature of typewriters and what it doesn't do. It doesn't do what you think it's going to do. I like how you have on the thumbnail, it says it's Control Z, but on paper. So you've picked this one specific thing, even though you do talk about how a typewriter works in broader sense, that's kind of the draw of the video. And I found it totally fascinating because I had no idea, because I remember using those typewriters where it would go, it would tap 3 times to erase, a letter.
Well, that was my motivation for it, was being surprised when I first used one of those typewriters, like, oh, this is not at all what I thought it was. And that just entered my brain, you know, 14 years ago, whenever that was. So,
we've got a guest. Who is your cat? Who's your cat?
Who is that?
This is Reed.
Oh, hi.
Reed?
Yeah, R-E-E-D.
One cat, or do you have multiple cats?
Justin.
Just Reed. Oh,
all you need is Reed.
We love having cats.
I think
on
he
the
wants
show.
To be an only cat, so. not sure he's going to get another one. At the shelter, he was in a room with like 14 other cats.
He's like, just give me some peace and quiet.
He just sits on the top all day by himself. So, But yes, I should have realized he was going to do that.
That's fine. The pets are very welcome on this show. You seem to be in a similar position to, we were speaking to Robert Dunn of Aging Wheels yesterday, where he has an audience of people who will watch him do something where they have no idea what he's doing, but they'll just watch it because it's Robert doing it. And I feel like you have a similar vibe to your content where it's people aren't necessarily even watching to learn about something obscure, which they will find out is cool. They do that through you kind of almost being the catalyst. And I'm buying into you showing your excitement for it. So it puts you in an interesting position where you just need to be yourself. Like I'm watching to see, like you could talk about anything. You could really just go left field and start talking about sports or whatever. And I'm there for it. So further to your point, I watched the first video where you explain how my eardrum works. Guess what? I'm a really smart guy. I have no idea, even after you explained it. But I went through the comments and people were like, thank you for putting it in a certain way or like and explain it. And you certainly did explain it in a way which I had never. So it wasn't, at the end of the day, it ultimately wasn't me learning something new. It was, I loved the process of doing it and following along with you because you have a wonderful sense of humor and the way that you present it. And everything, again, goes back to this look. You have a desk, you have a jacket, you wear a t-shirt, you do your hair the same way, this is the same cadence, you deliver all of the information. So it's like, it's separate from what I'm learning about. It's, I want to see this show and I want to learn about something, and you can just drop whatever within that bucket. Do you think of your videos that way, or are you always looking at the North Star of your video being, I find this interesting and I'm going to compel the person to find it as interesting as I am?
I think it's, well, first of all, thank you. Midwesterners are really bad at taking compliments. So I'm just sitting here like, it's definitely, I am aware of the parasocial aspects of this whole job I've stumbled across. And I'm aware that a lot of my content is personality driven, but it is, I'm not comfortable making a video that is purely that. So I do still have the North Star of trying to find something compelling and interesting or noteworthy to communicate to. And speaking of personalities, that's an interesting thing that has happened. There might be a number of people who listen to this podcast and are familiar with my channel who think I'm under the influence of something right now, because my personality on camera is amped up quite a few steps. Yes. And I've had multiple people, not singling anybody out, who have in a very caring way asked if I need help. And this usually happens with like Connextras videos where I'm doing something on the second channel and I'm not, you know, I'm just myself, or, you know, they'll assume that like, are you in a bad way right now? And I'm like, no, that's just how I am. I'm not that amped up person you see on camera. That would be so annoying if I were like that in real life. So yeah, it's those parts of it are just weird recognizing that.
Yeah.
People know me as not an ungenuine version of myself, but several ratcheted steps more intense. So
Do people in real life ever run into you and recognize you? Where do you live? What part of the Midwest are you in?
Chicago area.
Oh, Chicago.
And amazingly, I've only been recognized in public that I know of twice, and the third time that I suspect.
Oh, you got the long stare?
You got the look,
just kept looking, yeah.
I had this person who was like, do I know you? And I was like, I actually said, maybe. And he was like, what's your name? And I said, Alec. And he's like, oh, no.
No, okay. No, you're nobody.
I have no idea who you are.
Yeah, well, it's because you're not walking around with your desk
and the jacket.
The background.
Well, I mean, the jacket is actually really useful.
It would be like, it's like Mr. Rogers out of context, you know, wearing jeans or something, you know, you're like, I know that guy, but I don't.
Well, and I snuck into the Vintage Computer Festival Midwest, which was just happening in this area. And I was wearing a mask, so people didn't recognize me. And it was weird because I knew probably half of the people at this thing know who I am. And they did a panel with some of Clint of Lazy Game Reviews was there. And a few other, the 8-bit guy, a few, I better stop talking because I'm going to forget people that I shouldn't. But there was a panel and they talked about, they know I'm local and they're like, why isn't he here? And I heard this through Twitter. I was like, oh, this is so strange. So I got recognized a dozen times in that event, even wearing a mask. But I did wear a shirt that I've worn in some videos, so I was kind of asking for that. But no, as far as like general day-to-day life, I'm hardly ever recognized, which I'm thankful for, honestly.
When people ask what you do, do you have a, I am a?
It depends on the context. It is, if it's like a casual thing, like say I'm getting my hair cut,
sure,
which hasn't happened in over 2 years. But if I'm getting my hair cut, I will usually say, oh, I work in online media.
There you go. Yep.
And try to say something vague and boring. Yeah. And,
so there's no follow-up questions.
They're thinking, oh, he's probably
he
SEO
sells
guy
ads
or something.
Like that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But if it's like, if I'm going to be spending time with people, I just took another train trip from California with my dad, and they were doing they're back to doing the communal seating in the dining car. So we were having conversations with people, and then I will actually say I make YouTube videos.
Sure.
And it usually gets a lot of questions, but we're having a conversation. So
do you have an elevator pitch, or do you have like just a one sentence which best explains the types of videos? So obviously the first question, what do you do? And then you're like, I am a YouTuber. And then obviously the follow-up question is, oh, what kind of videos do you make?
I stumble through it every time.
Right? Every single time, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I make videos about technological concepts, mostly old stuff, but some new stuff. Educational bend.
Really selling it there.
I'm talking too much, aren't I?
Yeah.
It's very true.
Oh, that's funny. I got to know about this train. Would you take an Amtrak from California to?
Yeah. So.
Because I don't hear about people doing that anymore. Is that? I guess it's a quaint kind of experience. You do it for the experience.
You do it for the experience. There's one train a day going out each direction. Well, there's technically two. So I did this. My brother lives in San Diego, and on a whim, I was like, I've always kind of wanted to take the train from Chicago to LA. I have time. I can make work, you know, bring work with me on the train. And I really enjoyed it. And
is it like a sleeper car? Do you do that?
I did. You can do it, coach.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Rough. But so I just I really enjoyed the Southwest Chief. That's the train that goes from Chicago to LA. But I wanted to take the California Zephyr, which is supposedly the most scenic train in the U.S. And that goes from the Bay Area back to Chicago. So it's a different route.
Yeah.
But yeah, it started on a whim. I really enjoy it. But it's objectively like kind of insane to take the train over flying because it's more expensive.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Way slower. But it is an experience that feels old timing.
Did it get just monotonous, or was it just really interesting landscape and were you really fully engaged with the whole experience?
From Denver westward, you're engaged the whole time.
Yeah, I bet.
But once you're back among the corn where I live, it's
it's like, oh, it's there's another field.
All the same until you're in Chicago.
So. Yeah.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how good are you at not becoming totally involved in this lifestyle? Usually as a YouTuber, it just becomes all encompassing. So are there things that you do, or is there any kind of mental health breaks that you take, or do you think about that in any way?
I would put myself probably at a 6. I spend too much time on this job, and it is definitely, I do not have the work-life balance that I would like, but I'm also, I'm comfortable with where I am. And that's part of why I don't have a schedule. I know I could not keep myself on schedule, and that would bother me more than anything. So the videos happen when they happen, they get released when they're done. But definitely, like, I'm not anywhere near burnout, and I'm proud to say that. Yeah. I've really only taken one true break, and it was when I moved. I decided I need to just get all this sorted and not think about work at all. So But the rest of the time, like, I'll just, you know, I'll take 5 or 6 days off here and there. Usually my schedule tends to be when I release a video, then I take the next few days off and I just don't think about, because it's this intensity curve that gets higher and higher and higher and higher and then stops.
Yes.
And so the writing process is the early tail of it. It's taken a while. It's drudgery. But then script is done. Okay, now I'm going to work basically 12, 16-hour days until the video is done. And I realized that I really shouldn't do that. but that's the way that it's been. We're so close to that finish line that I'm going to get past it.
What are some of the ways you think your content has improved, other than obviously the technical and your presentation and that, but how do you think the actual content that you create now is different or better than it was 7 years ago?
Mainly that I'm taking myself less seriously and trying to have more fun with it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I've kind of gone back to being a little more serious. I want to, there's a couple of videos. The one on why the SD card logo has a disc in it, where I cut to myself wearing a bow tie and being like a scientist or whatever. But that I think is a bigger thing. I've been more comfortable with, like, this is entertainment first and foremost. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't be too dry. It's hard, but that talking earlier about the personality thing, I'm understanding you, I need to lean into that a little bit. And so that I think is the bigger thing. I can't say my sense of humor is great, cause it's a lot of puns, but I try.
It's really delivered in a really kind of deadpan dry way. I like it. It's just the right amount. And I think that's the good thing about your channel, is that it doesn't push it too far. Cause a lot of times if you go too far into the comedy, you're like, okay, but I'm interested in the topic. Right. Let's get back to that. You know, and those are the kind of things that annoy me. But you seem to have that, just that sweet spot of just the right amount in there.
Well, thank you. I hope to keep it that way.
Is there a question of scale at this point? Are you happy with it always being, it sounds like it's a one person operation right now. It sounds like it always has been. And it sounds like it should always be, as in, like, it, there seems to be some disingenuous aspects of bringing someone in to do editing or answer emails.
100%. I don't want to be a manager. I want to be the content producer.
Right.
And I enjoy every step of the process. It's just, and honestly, I mean, I'm very successful. I'm very happy with where I am. I don't need to pursue growth, except that it's happening and I'll welcome it.
Right.
But yeah, I don't want to turn into a media company. I just want to.
I kind of wonder if we're starting to see a trend in this, Chad, where, and we talked to Robert about this too, about people, viewers seem to be more embracing of this kind of old school way of doing YouTube, where it was the one person who did everything and you could really get on board with that one person, and starting to maybe shy away from these larger, huge productions that have kind of.
I was like, so 2017 to 2018 to, like, scale your team and get a manager and to.
Yeah. You know. But now I think it might start to be swinging the other way. People are really starting to be more personality focused.
I've not really paid too much attention to, like, the general sentiment of what the audience thinks, but it's definitely a conscious choice on my part that, like, yeah, I could make more money if I hired someone to take care of all the, well, actually I shouldn't say take care of things like answering questions and stuff, because I'm deliberately pretty hard to track down. And some people will, you know, they'll, like, tweet at me, "You're really hard to find contact info for," and it's like, yeah, that's on purpose. But, you know, I could definitely make more content if I had people helping out with other things, but then it would stop being my craft. Right. And it would be my, already it was amazing how quickly it went from I stopped working in the hotel industry. This is now my job. How quickly it turned into, this is work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a hobby that I did outside of work. And then it just was like, oh, no, this is my job now. But I still, I'm not comfortable taking pieces of that out and handing it over to another person. And I don't even think I would want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not comfortable with it either. I've been doing this for a long, long time, and I still do it myself. And I had to actually come to terms with that, I think, because for so long, everybody's saying, you got to have everybody doing, hiring all these people. And I don't know, there's something about just doing it all yourself. That just
I think it's
sense.
Part of the secret sauce, which makes it work. It, from soup to nuts, it is your vision, and it's unaltered, and it's you know, whatever. And like we were talking about earlier, that's part of what people are tuning in for, not to see the production and the content scale in a way where they can get more videos and whatever. And is that maybe the reason why you haven't explored shorts or any of the other kind of...
Yeah, do you do any of the other platforms, Instagram, TikTok?
You use Twitter.
I do use Twitter.
You're a big fan of Twitter.
It's...
Everybody says that about Twitter.
I have the same relationship
just a general reaction.
But no, yeah, there's a reason.
It was interesting. When I've not been on Twitter that long. I think I started it in 2018. And it was interesting how when I started Twitter, my channel was, I think, I probably had over 100,000 subscribers at that point, but it wasn't huge. And Twitter lets you know when you are to the point where now you can be punched up at.
Right.
And so it was very interesting seeing that happen. Is that like, oh, now I need to be careful because I can't, you know, you're going to get some people angry no matter what you say on Twitter. And so I've just kind of stopped saying things. It's mostly bad jokes. Because that's when it's fun, is to have audience interaction and answer questions. But if I want to say something, my own true thoughts on a subject, it usually is something I regret doing. So
yes,
it's just like, and it's just the nature of Twitter. It's that it's too easy to tweet.
Right. And take out of context and not have any like real base. Yeah, you got 140 characters or whatever it is.
Well, right. And that's like, I think that's the thing that happened, is that as I was starting out on Twitter, people would presume all my tweets, or people would accept tweets in good faith ways. That was the default.
Yes.
But then once you become a personality, it's like, oh, now I get to look for subtext that isn't there. And
people want to problematize everything.
Yeah. I remember the wave of people who added to their bio, retweets do not equal endorsements or whatever, because really you could retweet something from an account and not have any of the context for where the end.
Right.
People are like, oh, well, you're willing to retweet Donald Trump? Well, I don't like you anymore. And now we live in this world of zero context for things. So yeah, Twitter ends up being that really sensitive place. But I did notice that you tweeted about 30,000 times, so like, it clearly is a great place for you to, clearly you get something out of it.
Yeah, I get an unhealthy dopamine hit, basically. Yeah. And I lately my relationship with Twitter has been getting more hands off. I will probably never leave it because it's too useful as far as like for me wanting to have a pretty filtered, I should explain. I used to have a business email public on YouTube, but it just quickly turned into too much to handle. And not only because there was just terrible, you know, stuff that I didn't want to engage with as far as like sponsorship inquiries and stuff, but it also just felt bad that people, the way that I processed it was that email, it gives like an expectation of access. Yeah. And so people would sometimes send very inquisitive or personal or emails that, like, I don't know how to respond to this and I feel bad that this is sitting in my inbox. So I'm just going to turn that off. And so Twitter is very useful because, you know, I'll follow a creator, then they realize I'm following them, they'll follow me, and then we can DM and do something together.
Right.
And so even if I were to stop using Twitter for fun, which I don't think I'll ever do, but even if I did, it's too useful as far as a way to connect between people in this business.
You spend a lot of time kind of fact checking everything you do. So I don't imagine you get a whole lot of people trying to nitpick your videos and find fault in them. Do you get some of that?
I used to.
Yeah.
And now I lean into it a little bit. I used to be very pedantic, and I am in some respects now, but now I'm very much calling out pedantry. What was it? Oh, yeah. So talking about electric vehicles, you know, I have this beef, which is pretty public, with Tesla for having a different charging connector compared to every other car. And so I had said in a video that they're now the only company that does not use this connector. But Nissan, at that time, and I think still today, produce the Leaf still with the CHAdeMO connector for the U.S. market, which is effectively dead. And so I get people who are like, oh, that's not true. The Leaf is still sold
actually,
with the CHAdeMO connector.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the latest video on charging, I actually put up a thing. I said, attention, pedants. We're talking about the AC charging plug. And even the Leaf has had the same one since the beginning. So
yeah,
be quiet. I used to be kind of obsessive about, like, I know people are going to nitpick this. I'm going to be incredibly precise to make sure that can't happen. And now I'm just at peace with the fact that it's going to happen. And the YouTube comment algorithm is pretty good at making sure that sort of stuff is buried.
So. It does. It kind of gets buried, doesn't it? It just slowly works its way down. That's
until you trend, and then you end up getting exposed to this new audience who have no context, and they just see you on trend. So why is this video trending? 25-minute video on lava lamps.
This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Who's this guy? I love the internet.
Or, you know, this video could have been 5 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. Video starts at 12 minutes and 32 seconds.
That one really, that one drives
me
crazy.
No, it doesn't.
I get that.
Starts at 000, like all other videos do.
Sometimes I'll make simple projects in woodworking, and I'll get the comment of like, you know, you could just go to the store and buy that cheaper. And I'm like, would you really have watched a video of me walking into a store and buying something?
And using it.
I think a lot of that comes from the wild thing about YouTube that I feel like the people outside of YouTube don't understand is that people use it in wildly different ways. And so because it is one huge platform where all these people are all too willing to share their thoughts on whatever they're watching, you'll have people who actually used YouTube search looking for an answer to a question. And then they'll come across my video, which is for entertainment. Yes, the answer to this question is in there, but that's not what it's for.
It's not
leading
for a quick
you to a place.
One sentence answer. Yeah.
And so, you know, that I get that tension from people who, and there's also, you know, going back to like the history of the channel, my older videos were drier. They were less entertainment focused. I just hoped that people found them entertaining, but that wasn't what I was really thinking about. And so as I've changed and realized to be successful, I need to bring in my personality. I should get a little bit snarky, but not too much. And then I get people who are like, man, your videos are just not what they used to be.
Oh,
I hope
miss the old Alec.
That's a good point about this search, though, and I think that it's true. People get the results from a search confused sometimes with not what the channel is trying to do. I think a good example would be you had a video on why there's the holes in the side of a prong on a plug for an outlet, you know? And you actually, at the very beginning of that video, did what most people do. It's like, just Google it and you get the snippet answer that shows up, which was just wrong. It's like, it holds them in there. And you're like, no, that's not why it is in there. And you proceeded to make a video that's like 20 minutes long or something. And I'll bet you anything. People are like, well, you know, you could have just answered this in 3 minutes, but that wasn't the point of the video. That was kind of the hook of the video.
Yeah, that's a good example. It is a simple question, and it has a simple answer. But the interesting thing is, there are historical cases, and where you can find the holes actually did engage with something, but they're all way in the past. So it's just this holdover that's still there, effectively. But that's another good case of pedantry, because then people will be, well, actually, in 1939, there's this patent from Westinghouse that shows a latch engaging. So there's some plugs that you turn.
Any comment that starts with, well, actually, just kind of grates at me.
Right? You could just hear the glasses
being pushed up.
There's
actually a meme going around of that. Well, actually.
Well, actually.
Yes. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm sure I get that more than I realize, because again, the YouTube, the worst thing for me regarding comments is when I just, like, I have blinders on where when I open the studio app, I'm like, don't look at the most recent comments. Don't look at them. Because they tend to just be, you know, nitpicky, awful things that I don't want to see. So that,
yeah, I find it, a lot of those come with videos that have been out for a while, and it, mm-hmm. somehow people run across it. And I think it's like what you were saying, Chad, it's somebody who doesn't know you, doesn't know the channel. They just,
no context.
They just hit this thing and then they'll just do, you know, a drive-by comment. And if you respond to them, 9 times out of 10, you'll never get a response back. They probably don't even read your reply to that, you know, because they usually don't even have their own avatar or anything. It's like just a generic letter for their, so it's, yeah. I don't know.
And quite often they don't even look at when the video is made, because I think to Alex's point, we at Clean My Space get countless comments on our earlier videos, and they're like, get a new camera, your sound sucks. It's like, the video's from 2011, dude. Like, we were doing it on a phone. I don't know what you want from it. Like, check out the latest ones. We have $50,000 worth of production equipment. That's exactly what you're looking for.
You can't get people to think before they comment.
Goodness, no. They might not leave a comment. I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I want to ask you anyways. How many thumbnails do you put together before you choose the one that you're going to go with?
Not many. Oh. I have a consistent style. I very rarely put my face on there because I don't want to lean into that, but that's just my personal
YouTube says you're supposed to put your face on them. Oh, wait, you get 1.5 million views on the video.
I don't know if it's 100% necessary. I have done it, like one of the heat pump videos, my face is on there because I want people to realize, like, I do make a conscious effort. Most of my thumbnails now, I try to make the set visible, partly because it's very colorful. It's very bright and vibrant. You know, I do crank up the brightness and make saturation go a little high, but it's just the text, the font that I use in my videos pointing to something. I try to have a consistent style, but like when I do something like the heat pump video where I can't just pick up the heat pump and put it on the desk as much as I'd like to, then yeah, I did crop in a frame of me on the set so people are aware this is my video.
Wow, why is the air conditioning video your most popular video? I mean, it's an interesting video.
Yeah, what is it about air conditioners?
Because everybody's
the portable
hot.
Air conditioner one?
Yeah, most viewed video.
So I think just because that one, I have a couple of seasonal videos. I have the space heater nonsense one where I try to tell people 1500 watts is the same 1500 watts no matter how it's coming out of the thing. So you're not going to get one space heater that can heat a room faster than another. They're all the same. There's reasons to choose different space heaters, but energy is energy. But the portable air conditioner one is basically, for whatever reason, portable air conditioners are all single hose units. It's really hard to find one that's a dual hose unit.
And they're total crap, aren't they?
That they are, because they're sucking air out of the building. Like, that's how they're dealing with the heat from the condenser. They're just blowing it outside. Well, that means air gets pulled in from the rest from outside. You can't just take air out or you'll die. So they're all just terribly inefficient, and they're loud and they're noisy. And my motivation with the video was trying to get people aware that if you can find a dual hose unit, you should buy that. And in the U.S. market, if you can have a window unit, just get a window unit.
Go with the standard old-fashioned window unit. Works great.
Yeah. So
I'm going to submit that that did quite well because of the big words, these suck, no really.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. I'm normally not that guy, but there's two things about this that I noticed. One, it's one that we use quite a bit, which is a corner of a room, as in a wall going in and a wall going in, as in lines leading you to the middle, where you have this very well-placed air conditioner. Huh. I can tell in a second that that is an air conditioner. And my eyes, Veritasium does that, where it's, you've done it very well. It self-destructs. And then the one with the detergent pack literally says skips a step. Mm. How long does it take for you to figure out what those words are?
The words?
Because I actually do believe that is probably these suck. And that, like, that's...
Yeah. I should realize that's definitely pretty clickbaity. I mean, in a good way, not like dishonest.
No, in a very good way.
But...
That's honest, because they do suck. Yeah, because even below it, it says, no, really.
Well, it's a pun.
And you
they are literally sucking.
And you didn't double up with the text being... the Gamer from Mars does this very well, where it's like the title's one thing, and then he figures out another thing completely separate to throw on the thumbnail, which adds that element of... It's what I love that skips a step. Detergent packs are kind of wishy-washy. And then you got the pack, a point to it, and it's like, these skip a step. So, like, it's weird how a thumbnail's now telling me something in addition to the title and in addition to the... There's this interest. It's very deliberate with yours. Look at the brown one. It's literally a brown thumbnail with the word brown.
Yeah, that one was like, I just knew. I'll be honest with that video. I knew this is the opposite of what you're supposed to do with the thumbnail. Yeah. It's going to work. Because in a sea of faces and
you got to do something different.
And all that stuff, there's going to be a brown square that says brown.
Yes. So color is weird.
I knew that. I actually knew that one was going to work. But as far as the conscious decision of what goes in the what words I'm using on the thumbnail, that is what I will often tweak after the video has come out. And I probably need to do it with the camera video, but as I've been thinking through, or my most recent video, but as I've been thinking through it, I just think it's hard to hook people who aren't familiar with cameras into that subject. But yeah, I am conscious of doing the words in the thumbnail and the title complement each other. One answers the other. I've been trying to do that for a while.
And can I just say something about dishwashers? I love the thing you have on the pie, on the little pod that goes in there. I feel like, and this goes for Chad, you and Melissa too have had videos on dishwashers. And I feel like no matter what I do, I'm just doing it wrong. I'm always washing my dishes wrong. I always think like, I don't know, I'm using the wrong product. I'm not stacking the dishes right. I'm like, and everybody says, just let the dishwasher do what it's supposed to do. I don't know why. There's my mini rant on dishwashers. I'm doing it wrong always. It's kind of like when you go to the dentist. They're like, you're flossing, but you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. I deliberately, in those videos, did not address how to load a dishwasher correctly.
No, that was not you.
I was like, we're not going to touch that. That's going to make people go nuts.
Because, you know, we use those pods in our dishwasher. And now I'm like, oh, well, shit. I'm supposed to do the pre-fill thing.
Well, that's all you can get these days. And that's literally been the bugbear. Like, that got started. The whole thing about this dishwasher was just a thing got stuck in my craw. I've been using powder detergent, the cheapest crap I can find, for the longest time. And my dishwashers have always washed dishes excellently. Yeah. And I've had many different, when I was living in Florida, my Disney college program, the dishwasher in that apartment was terrible. But you know what it did? It washed dishes.
Right.
It did an excellent job. And so I've had this theory in my head forever, because it was the whole thing. Like, my parents never noticed. There's two places to put detergent.
Yeah,
that's pre-wash. Probably important.
And the manufacturer puts it there for a reason.
Well, and so I've just been like, ever since I've had dishwashers, I've been like, well, I'm buying the box of powder because A, it's really cheap, and B, I can use it the way it's supposed to be used. And lately, I've noticed all these people who are like, oh, dishwashers can't wash dishes. They're just fancy sanitation machines. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make a video about this. And truthfully, that is one of my favorite videos, because the feedback I got from that from countless people was, wow, my dishwasher can wash dishes.
Yeah.
Because they've never tried anything but the detergent packs. And I'm like, I tried my best to explain. I think this is important. And there's a lot of people who use detergent packs and they work fine. So whatever, use your dishwasher, however you want to use it. But
and you're not supposed to use liquid detergent. I've had a number of people say never use the liquid dishwashing detergent. Only use either powder. Well, I guess you should always use powder.
You can use the liquid. It's just they're not stable with bleach and the enzymes together. Oh. So you're either picking one or the other. Right. And the powder, they can both exist. So it's not really like it's bad for your dishwasher. It's just it's not.
And this is like and I know I'm on a real tangent about dishwashers here.
No, but that's it's just fine. I love dishwashers.
It's one of these things, Steve.
I don't know why I've seen these videos on dishwashers, but there's like debate over how you're supposed to stack your dishes in there, that they should be leaning down or leaning up. This is what people debate about. But apparently it makes no difference, because the water is just circulating everywhere.
And it's super hot. Like the super hot water actually does the vast majority of the work. And then
because I always thought, well, you got to push the glasses this way and this so that the water shoots up into them. And it doesn't make any difference.
Like you don't want to put like a bowl face up. But yeah, I had people who were like, your plates are vertical. And it's like, yeah, it works fine because it's going to get the sprayers on the top and the bottom both have, they're going all different directions. Like that's smart people designed this thing to be able to tolerate pretty terrible use.
Did you buy that dishwasher for that episode?
No, it was just on the fritz and I needed to replace it.
Oh, okay.
And so that was the joke of like, luckily, I have one right here and just puts it under the table. That set itself up. And I've always kind of wanted to cut a hole in a dishwasher and watch it. Cool. That took a lot of effort to not leak, and it started leaking already again.
I'll bet. Yeah. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we enjoyed the conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.